is the fine hot summer of 1955. Conditions should be perfect for the Tidy Villages and Gardens competition organised by young Packy McGoldrick. Packy is thought to have a notion of Josie Doherty, just qualified in domestic economy. They hope to operate a cafe in the restored courthouse. But Josie's father, Fonzie Doherty, hotelier and development association chairman, has no great confidence in Packy's intentions. Meanwhile, the Reverend Samuel Hawthorne has failed to obtain the call to a larger congregation, on account, it is surmised, of his single state. A state which Vivian Bowe, his organist and schoolteacher, is desirous of altering. These encounters are observed and overheard by Miss Vera McConkie, operator of the manual telephone exchange, and by her sister Muriel, who runs the corner shop. Ballylennon, 1955.
Ballylennon call office number, please. Hello? Hello? Oh, hello, Letterkenny. You've a call holding for me. From London? My, that's swank for you. Who in London would want to... Hello? Hello? Oh, I suppose they find the distance too far to negotiate. Are you out of the shop, Muriel?
No, I'm just walking around.
Who would someone in London be looking for on the phone?
Order a box of alabaster rolls. You'll be nearly out of those.
Of course, it could be a big picture dealer looking for Mr. Frawley up at Killiecrumper Hall. I hear he's thinking of exchanging one of his Rubenses for a view of Tory Island.
Unless it's for Terry White. I believe he's all for improved relations with Westminster since he got himself elected.
Do you think it'd be Sir Anthony looking to consult Terry over that canal? What's it called, Suez? Somewhere out for him.
You know what I was going to say to you? Fonzie Doherty's gone demented since Terry White won the by-election. He says Terry hasn't the interests of the people at heart. He doesn't even stick his nose round the door for a meeting of the Development Association. Too interested in closing down the railway or rebuilding that ridiculous old courthouse that nobody wants.
Oh, the voters will soon regret what they're after doing. They'll boot him out next time when they see the damage he's done. Hello, Ballylennon. Yes, there was a call from London, and it never got... Hello? Hello? Oh, maybe Sir Anthony's secretary isn't used to the automatic switchboard.
Not too many traveling out on that train, Stumpy.
That's a terrible worry, so it is not, in fact.
Maybe if the railway did a bit more advertising. Huh? There's no use in hiding your light under a bushel, as the man said. What train was that, anyway?
It's an all-in excursion to St. Patrick's Purgatory. You know, the ticket and the boat out to the island and confession and a free tea at Balik. I'll tell you this, only three got on there. Mr. Cribben of the Catholic Repository, and that one does be behind the counter with him, Miss Killigrew, I think her name is, and Canon Freel's housekeeper.
Peg Sweeney? Wouldn't you think she'd have enough of Purgatory looking after himself?
Peg is a pal over in Pettigo. I think they'll make a weekend of it. I wouldn't think the same Peg's knees would be wore out on the penitential stones.
They'd want to advertise the railway more widely, but because if they don't, it's only playing into the hands of the likes of Terry White. So if he was to look into the station in the last quarter hour, he'd pronounce it obsolete at a single glance. And then, where would your job be? Huh? Oh, you'd be taking up the journalism full time.
Do you think I haven't thought that one out? Eddie McGrady isn't going to take me on to the Vindicator full time because he's a mean man, so he is. And he knows full well he can get his full weekly report out of me for 5 shillings. If the railway's closed down, there's another scheme I was going to put up to you.
Before you go into that, Stumpy, I have a wee favour to ask, because I know your deadline's the night. Do you see this here? Look. A few notes I wrote about the concert in aid of the Tidy Villages. I've got Mick McCluskey and the Melichords for the main spot, and I'm looking for widespread publicity. I mean, it's in a very good cause, Stumpy.
Isn't that young Packy McGoldrick running the Tidy Villages and that?
Oh, I know. Oh, I know he is, but you see, Stumpy, I'm not so sure he's getting on with the job. He seems to have a lot of other matters on his mind. I mean, I told him to be sure to get plenty of publicity. But has he been down to see you about it? Hmm? I wouldn't say he has.
A grand floral concert. What kind of a concert is that?
Oh, you may be sure Gad Gallagher's behind that title. It's a kind of a pun, he was telling me. Like floral instead of coral. Sort of a joke. But I agreed to it to humor him. He's singing in it himself, of course, wouldn't you know? But he's not getting top billing. I'm reserving that for the Millicords. Oh, that'll be a far bigger draw.
I'll give a good splurge to that, so I will. The Millicords. There's not much other news this week except the big news, and they won't print that.
Hey, what's that? Was it something I didn't hear?
Oh, you heard all right. About Reverend Hawthorne not getting the pulpit in Newton Cunningham. He got a queer gunk there, I'm telling you.
Not as queer a gunk as I got myself. I was sure he'd be gone. Not that that'd make much of a difference, but I thought if he went, she'd go as well. And now, we're landed with the two of them.
It's the statute quo then, I suppose.
It's the statute quo I could do without. She's got agreement to open the Outcourt House as an art centre. And I happen to know she has her eye on my wee Josie to run the cafe in it. What's more, she has her eye on young Packy to run the whole shebang. And wasn't it you yourself first gave me the hint that Packy and Josie were... Well, you know, I could do without that stain on my family's... whatever they call it.
Scutcheon. A stain on your scutcheon.
Is that it? Well, I'll stain his scutcheon for him. I never did come up against any young fella as cute in the ways of the world as that Packy McGolden.
You're right, Fonzie, so you are. He'd take the glass eye out of a blind man's socket.
He'd what?
And sell it to the kids for a marble.
Hello there, Miss Bowl.
You're dead on time, Packy. Quite a nice day, isn't it? The begonias in that triangle outside the Swilly Arms are coming on well, surprisingly. A pity a car seems to have run across the bed.
Indeed.
Those toffee-coloured tiles in front of the hotel don't do anything for it, aesthetically speaking.
No, didn't I warn Mr. Doherty of that myself, after I walked to town with Mrs. Henderson from the Tourism Committee? She said the new bathrooms was all very well inside, but not on the exterior.
Is Gord Gallagher in the barracks?
Oh, I don't know, I've only just arrived.
I imagine he has the concert programme planned out, knowing him. Should I knock?
No, just walk right in.
Hello? There's no one in the office. He might be in the day room. Are you there, Gord Gallagher?
Oh, there you are, Miss Bowles. I was just checking out the back. I have to do that regularly because...
You'd never know who might be poking around, indeed. Two of my next-door neighbours' prize Wyandots vanished last week. Just vanished.
Lawlessness is reaching new heights of low cunning, there's no mistake. Hello, Packy.
How are you doing?
Take a seat at the table, Miss Bowl. I have the concert programme in my pocket and the pencil, yes.
I thought we should take your list of items to Mr. Bonner for the Vindicator, though we're too late for this Saturday's issue. Perhaps you'd deliver it to him at the railway station, Packy.
Oh, well, I think Stumpy Bonner gets a lift out of my wee visits.
Well, the programme's not quite ready. You see, the sergeant's out in sick leave, and the superintendent is coming to see me next week. I don't know what that's about.
That very rise in lawlessness we were speaking of, no doubt.
Well, it's unusual that he'd want to speak to me here.
Perhaps you're for the high jump, guard.
Well, I'm not sure if I've done anything wrong.
Oh, are you joking, guard? Sure, it's well known you're the brightest button on the uniform of the force.
Oh, I don't know.
Shall we look at the programme?
Well, it's all to be a floral theme. The first item will be the Unity Singers in the opening chorus from Lilac Time by Heinrich Berthe.
You have that well rehearsed anyway.
And for the same token, the evening will finish with the chorus from The Lily of Killarney by Benedict.
Dead on, guard.
And different people will sing solos and duets, floral solos and duets. Do you sing yourself, Packy?
Oh, do I?
Well, you can select anything with a flower in the title.
The last time I opened my mouth to sing Two Cats Drop Dead from Fright. You'll be contributing the verse to two yourself, Gart.
Oh, yes, two songs about roses. The Rose of Mooncoin and the Rose of Tralee. What do you think, Miss Bowles?
We'll be surrounded by fragrance, Gart.
The pale moon was rising above the green mountain. The sun was reclining above.
Very good, Gardner, aye. And, what about Mick McCluskey?
Who's he?
Mick McCluskey and the Mellow Cards.
Sure, that's a dance band.
Oh, I know. But aren't they down for the concert?
Indeed they're not. Where'd you get that?
I only heard Mr. Doherty mention them.
What? It wasn't in connection with us.
That kind of music wouldn't fit in, you see, Packy, with the light classics and the songs of yesteryear, right, which Gard Gallagher has in mind. There'd be stylistic incompatibility, isn't that so, Gard?
Oh, aye. I would, but that's...
Well, I must be getting along. I was just saying to Packy, the flower beds are coming along well.
Guess whose car ran across his own flower bed?
You don't say Mr. Doherty did that.
Would you call that reckless driving, Gard?
Ah, well, he might have been hemmed in by a misparked vehicle.
And after all your work digging the bed, Packy.
I'd say that's worth a summons, is it?
Oh, you can't issue a summons without proof.
You're an example to the force, Gard.
Will you look out the window, Muriel? Isn't that a sight for sore eyes for Leinster Barracks?
That packet of things empty. What is it?
Aren't they like a picture on a birthday card, all stamped there, delighted with themselves?
God, Gallagher and Miss Bull. Isn't that wee Packy McGoldrick?
Wee me elbow. He who lacks stature has a full head. Nothing passes wee Packy.
What can they be doing at the guards' barracks?
Getting some license or other. For a raffle, maybe an aid of the tidy village, because I think it's aid they'll be needing.
Isn't Gard Gallagher going very bald for a young man?
He's well into his 30s.
Well, the same. It gives him a kind of worried look.
He has little to worry about, a single man with no responsibilities. And look at her preening herself. Wouldn't you know she kept a canary?
Fine feathers make fine birds.
Well, she's not short of cocks for a hen bird. You'd think that after that last flutter she'd stay perched inside in the roost for a bit.
Well, you know what to say about a disappointing fear. It's often followed by the rebound.
Rebound? She's practically knocking over the guard. The jigs for... Oh, he's going back into the barracks. Mm. It's safer in there.
Okay, well, come away from the window, Vera.
All the same, the whole world knows that if he'd got the job in Newton Cunningham, there'd soon have been a vacancy in the school for her. And a vacancy in the man's too, after a while.
And anyway, if it's obvious she has a notion of him, he may not have a notion of her. Some men are like that.
Of course they could marry here as well as in Newton Cunningham. What's to stop them?
Well, Reverend Hawthorne may not be the matrimonial kind. A dark horse gallops on its own road.
I'd say she'll continue to fly a few more swoops over that racecourse, Muriel. Oh, there's the phone. What's the betting up, my friend, from 10 Downing Street?
Hello, number please. Oh, hello, Letterkenny. Yes, there was a caller trying to get through from London a couple of times. What's that? My switchboard unanswered? I never leave my switchboard unanswered, except at the lunch break, which, as you know, I'm entitled to in my contract. What? They're booking a call for 4 p.m. Yes, I'll be here. Oh, Letterkenny.
Three arms. Hello?
Is that you, Fonzie?
It is I. Stumpy?
Aye. A thing I forgot to say when you were down at the station. An idea I had for a local industry.
Oh. What is it?
Well, I don't want to say on the... You know...
Why are you ringing me, then?
To know if you'd be in the bar tonight.
I won't. Well, I'll tell you this. I was thinking of calling a meeting of the Development Association. There hasn't been one for some time. There's a few things needs to be pulled together, you know. A matter of that matters drift.
You wouldn't want to do that, so you wouldn't?
No.
Well?
If the thing you had in mind was suitable for discussion, you could bring it up.
I will, so I will.
Right. I'll ask Miss McConkie with Thursday's suit in it so she can circulate the members.
It was a pilgrimage to St. Patrick's Purgatory gave me the idea, so it was...
If religion comes into it, Stumpy, it's out. Totally out.
Well, it doesn't.
Bring it up to the meeting, Stowe.
Good afternoon, Miss McConkie.
Oh, good evening, Miss Bowle. What can I get you?
Just a copy of the Vindicator, please. And, oh, yes, while I'm here, a quarter of conversation lozenges.
That's last week's vindicator, Miss Bowle. This week's isn't out until tomorrow.
Oh, silly of me. I'll just take the lozenges then.
Not bad weather, is it, with the holidays coming up?
No, I'm looking forward to that.
Will you be going away? The answer's for...
Well, I don't really have any plans. I might go for a week to Warren Point.
Well, a quarter, and one for luck. It's nice to go away if you have a congenial company.
I was thinking of going on my own, for rest from the children.
That's Pip and Thiepenny. Oh, the children must have you distracted. I wouldn't be able to put up with them myself. Sixpence and a halfpenny, yes.
Thank you. But I won't go until the tidy villages and gardens have been judged.
Does Riff and Hawthorne ever get a Sunday off, I wonder? I often think there's a man who earns his bread.
I'm sure he can get one of the neighbouring ministers to stand in for him.
And then he'd be able to get away.
Oh, yes.
Like yourself.
Muriel, I've undertaken that call from London. Do you know who it was?
Oh, hello, Miss Bowle. Good afternoon, Miss McConkie. Thank you, Miss McConkie.
Oh, no, don't go, Miss Bowle. There was a phone message for you. Your number wasn't answering, so I jotted it down. Muriel, that was Betty McCutcheon. You know, the cousin on Dad's side who went out on the mission. She's coming over.
She hasn't been home for years. They don't let them out often. I suppose it's the expense of the steamship fare all the way from Africa. She must be burnt black by now.
Well, I wasn't actually speaking to her, but to one of her colleagues who said she'd been trying to reach us. And there's a letter in the post. Oh, excuse me, Miss Bowle, a family matter. This is a great niece of our late father's who went with the Sisters of Pity to Tanganyika. She's going to be paying us a visit.
A well-earned holiday, I suppose. Miss Bowle and I were just talking about the holidays, Vera.
Oh, I'll get that message for you now, Miss Bowle.
That wouldn't be Sister Gabriel McCutcheon.
Well, Gabriel's her name in religion. My father's sister married one of the McCutcheons.
Then I know her. We attended a course in behavioural divergence in primary education.
No, I don't think it could be the same person.
The summer courses at the training college are non-denominational. Sister Gabriel and I found we shared a lot in common. She was interested in the assimilation of numbers by children of preschool age, and so am I. You see, not many people realise that...
It was only to ring Mr. Bonner if you want him to mention any more details of your concert. But there's obviously no hurry, because tomorrow's vindicator will have gone to press.
Well, good afternoon, Miss Bowle.
You must let me know when Sister Gabriel arrives.
No, we will, of course. Good afternoon, Miss Bowle.
Good afternoon.
She bought a quarter of conversation lozenges. Mm. I popped an extra in for luck, it said. Honey, handsome.
Sure, she wouldn't be bothered reading them. She only buys them for the peppermint
to sweeten the sour look on her face.
Oh, dear. Oh, I'm dreadful.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have a quorum, and I propose taking the minutes as read. All in favour. Miss Bowle.
You'll be taking the courthouse as an agenda item, Mr. Chairman.
That item is top of the list, Miss Bowle. Top of the list.
Very well, then.
Mr. Bond.
I wasn't at the last meeting.
Yes, Madam Secretary.
Mr. Chairman, the apologies. Father Freed is still indisposed.
Well, I move we send a message over to St. Ewan's wishing him a speedy recovery.
I hear as long as I like old tenfold.
Oh, yes, it's dreadful.
Aye. Well, any word from Reverend Hawthorne? Miss Bowle.
Well, I wouldn't know. I did see him last Sunday in the course of my duties, but not since then.
He may be on his way.
I happen to know he has a lot on his mind at the minute.
Classified information.
Eh? Well, we'd better make a start, all the same. Item number one. Ladies and gentlemen, this committee hasn't met for some weeks, and I take it on myself to say that the fault rests entirely with me as chairman.
No,
oh, yes.
No.
Yes, Mr. Conley. The fault is mine. Now, as you all know, it's been a busy time, what with refurbishing this hotel to bring it all up to date to the high standard expected by the modern visitor.
Yes, indeed.
Not to speak of the elections. Oh, and on that issue, Madam Secretary, I propose we write a letter of congratulation to our new representative in the Dáil, Mr. Terence White.
Noted.
And Father, Madam Secretary, I'm sure we should remind him that he's very welcome at all our functions.
I'll do that too.
And last but not least, Miss Bowle, I know this is the matter close to your heart. The old courthouse.
Yes, indeed.
Well,
My own views on that building are well known. But a decision has been made at a higher level, and all I can say is that I wish the best of luck to those who propose to rehabilitate it for artistic endeavors.
Rats as big as cats,
yes,
I hear.
Though I have to add, you'll be needing the mint of money to do it. However, you have my support as chairman of this development association, and I'm sure of all the other members too, am I right?
Chairman. And we'll encourage everyone to attend all the classes in pottery and painting and... what was that other art, Miss Fole, through the chair?
Batik.
Yes, batik.
Ah, you can't beat the batik for artistry. What do you say, Mr. Bonner?
Huh? Oh, that's right. You couldn't beat it with a big stick, so you couldn't.
Are you comfortable there, Mr. Bonner, writing your notes? I could get Josie to bring you a lower table, a coffee table, maybe.
I can write very well where I am. But I'm after losing me barrow down the back of the settee.
Yeah. Hang on, let me find it for you. It's probably gone down here among the cushions. What's this? Oh, someone must have dropped a cotton scone. I get Josie to give a shake out of the covers. Have you a spare pen, Miss McGonagall?
Will this pencil do, Mr. Bonner?
Aye, thanks.
Now, where were we? Yes. Is there anything you'd like to add, Miss Bowler?
Thank you for your good wishes, Mr. Chairman. I've been talking to Mr. White and representatives of his department, and what has to be done first is to take steps to render the courthouse safe.
You can't say that again, Miss Bowler, because it's only a matter of time, days even, before a big granite block falls down and crushes some unwary housewife waiting for the Bunkrana bus.
That's all in hands, Chairman. I'm now drawing up plans for the activities to take place inside and for the facilities for visitors.
Very right and proper. And on that latter item, I understand there should be a canteen of some sort.
A period tea shop with an open hearth and home-baked fare.
Well, you know, and maybe I'm not the one that should be mentioning it, but you might find that space useful for some other activity, you know, like the...
Batik.
Of course, and... Anyone wanting a cup of tea and a home-baked scone would only have to cross the street to this very premises.
I'll take that scone there, Fonzie.
No, stop.
Well, it may not be appropriate to raise a personal matter, but I'm given to understand that Josie is interested in taking on the period tea shop.
Well,
now, she might have said that, but, I'm certainly not going to influence her the one way or the other. It wouldn't be right.
Of course not.
No. Speaking of Josie, she was going to bring up some refreshments, so if you'll excuse me, I'll just run downstairs. She may be busy with that party of coarse anglers from Liverpool. We'll take our recess, right.
Yes, okay.
Oh, Miss McConkie.
Yes?
I see your sister in the hall.
Oh.
She may be looking for you.
What? Oh, yeah, yes, I'll come down with you, Mr. Doherty. Excuse me, Miss Bowles.
I have to go in 10 minutes. The dairy train will be due, and I have a proposal of the utmost importance to make, so I have.
I won't be a minute.
Oh, that was a near one, Muriel. I knew there was a whisper of Josie being asked to run that cafe, but I didn't know it had gone that far. She never tells me anything.
You'll have to speak to her, Fonzie.
But she isn't even in the hotel. I had to dream that up about the tea on us. Miss Bowler would have come... Miss McConkie.
Hello, Mr. Doherty.
The meeting isn't over yet, Vera.
Well, I suppose I'd better go and look for the tea now, right?
Yeah. I thought you might be in the lounge, Muriel, and someone might have offered us a glass of port wine. Oh, this letter came by the evening post, Sister Gabriel.
Well?
It's very short. Just a line, in case I don't manage to contact you by phone, I'd very much like, and so on. I'll be on business, actually, but I suppose I can treat it as a working holiday. Looking forward to seeing you on Thursday next after so many years. The Lord bless you both, Betty.
Indeed.
Business? I suppose she has to make a report to the mother house.
We'll have to put her in Dada's room.
The walls are peeling.
Well, she'd hardly want to share with either of us.
We'll have to get the place done out and painted.
In 10 days? Who'd do that at such short notice?
Packy McGoldrick. He did Mr. Doherty's auctioneering office and varnished the floor too.
Made a row over that.
Mr. Doherty was slow to pay.
Fancy's not made of money, Vera.
I don't know where she hides the tea and the biscuits as well.
Oh, Fancy, are you going back into the meeting?
Well, follow me in when you're ready.
Yes.
There's no harm in asking Packy for a price.
It's not that. It's just that we wouldn't like to vex Fonsie. To be seen giving employment to Packy McGoldrick when there's a feud over him going out with Joseph.
Sure, he needn't know. And who else would we get?
Well, I'd better get back to take the minutes.
There's just the one thing I want to raise before I go, so I do. A proposal for a new industry.
Well, is there something that would increase employment in the town, Mr. Barr?
That would. You know St. Lennon's Well down by the Abbey Ruins?
I do. And there was shock. Full of frogs.
But... Ah, you could clean it out in half a day, so you could.
That well supplied the whole abbey. And the nearby McSweeney Castle in medieval times. You'll find it mentioned in my book, The History and Traditions of Ballylennon.
Oh, aye.
The waters of the well were supposed to have curative powers, too.
They did have curative powers. The old granny used to swear by them as a cure for the dry book.
Yes, well, I'm sure the water has medicinal properties.
It has.
Well, then, what did you have in mind, Stumpy?
Bottle it.
Bottle it?
Bottle what?
Ah, there you are, Miss McConkey.
The water from St. Lennon's Well. Bottle it and sell it.
Would anyone want to buy it?
The wood, of course. They'd buy anything with a fancy label.
Mr. Bonner has a point, Mr. Chairman. Vichy water is now being exported from France. You know, that spring is said to contain magnesium bicarbonate. The county medical officer could approve its prophylactic ingredients. We could sell it in the courthouse shop, too, with the natural foods and garden produce.
Well, if there was money to be made out of it...
You'd have a label on all the wee bottles, you see, and a picture of St. Lennon with a crook and a mitre and that, and big green letters saying, Ballylennon water. You know, like Lourdes water, Compostela water. Canon Freel could bless it so we could.
What's that?
Holy water.
What?
Oh! Mr. Chairman!
Ladies and gentlemen, with your permission, I think I'll adjourn the meeting for a private consultation. We can examine Mr. Bonner's motion at a future date.
Lennon by Christopher Fitzsimon. Fonsie Doherty was played by T.P. McKenna. Vera McConkey was Stella McCusker, and Muriel McConkey, Margaret Darcy. Vivian Bow was Anya McCartney. Stumpy Bonner, Gerard McSorley. Guard Gallagher, John Hewitt. And Paddy McGoldrick, Charlie Bonner. The music was arranged and performed by Stephanie Hughes. Ballylennon is directed by Owen O'Callaghan.